We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Scott Braun of MLB Network, MLB Radio, and more is with us now. Scott, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Boys, it's great to be here. I'm doing really well, hopping around the country a little bit, calling some games once a week. So I actually am going to see the Blue Jays in person next week for a game against the Royals. So I'll probably check out a little bit of the game tonight.
I like it. And, we were just talking about Trevor Bauer before, Scott. And, I've had my personal run-ins with Trevor a little bit, but I've always liked the talent. And, I said at the beginning of the season, I thought this was the year at 27 that – we see, can he harness what he did the second half of last year and become that pitcher, or will he continue to be up and down his whole career? So far, so good this season in three starts. What are your thoughts on Bauer?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, the potential has always been there, and sometimes I think he just does too much, right, in every aspect. I mean, in terms of his repertoire, in terms of his warm-ups, and the thing between innings was ridiculous. He's totally fine. I mean, that's just Trevor being Trevor.
Yes.
In terms of performance, I mean, last year what we saw was he pretty much simplified himself. So he's throwing all kinds of pitches out there, and I'm sure the Indian staff went over with him what was working best, and they say, hey, mostly fastball, curveball for you. You have a plus curveball for strikes, so use that. He's trying to learn the slider more to mimic what Corey Kluber has. Wanted something to kind of slow things down a little bit, and not just also mix that changeup in, which is more of a mid-speed pitch. You want something that's really slow, like the curve, like the slider. So, I mean, as long as he gets his repertoire down in the right way and just figures out what's working and what's not, which he's done so much better the last couple of years, that's great. But using that curveball as much as possible is definitely the way to go. And a lot of pitchers are doing that in the game anyway, where they are relying much less on their fastball than they used to. But good story, too, from 2 weeks ago. So I did a Mets-Phillies game, and I spent about 20, 25 minutes in Mickey Callaway's office, and he is a gem, an absolute class act.
Yeah, no,
I didn't even I knew he was good.
Yeah.
I had heard good things. Being in person with him, it was like, and I was with John Kruk and Cliff Floyd, and they were like, we felt like we were just hanging out in his home. I mean, the couches were comfy, but still. Anyway, so I asked him about social media, because the games we're calling are for Facebook. So I asked him if it's a problem for him, if he's ever got to monitor things, how it works with the teams. He goes, I dealt with Trevor Bauer, Scott. He's like, once you deal with Trevor Bauer, you can handle anything.
Yeah, right. Certainly. There's nothing tougher than that.
Scott, do you think Bauer, like, if he gets this stuff cooking and continues it, right, like, could he be a frontline starter for, I mean, maybe not for the Indians because they have Kluber and Carrasco, but, like, could he be a number two or a number one for some teams?
This stuff is there, but I just always feel like there's going to be something. I mean, maybe it's just a lack of trust over these many years. I wouldn't want to trust him as my number one starting pitcher, but the stuff is there for him to be that. But I just think that sometimes he's capable of kind of falling apart for whatever reason it is, right? I mean, there's a lot that goes on with him that it's, and he also is a guy that if he doesn't have everything perfectly, just like he was complaining about between innings, not having enough time to warm up, then sometimes, he's very good at using stuff as excuses after the game, which is fine, but it just seems like a little bit of a high maintenance situation. So I wouldn't want to pay him to be my number one starter. I'm so much more comfortable with him as a three because sometimes he can pitch like a one, which is really what you need. Like if you have a playoff rotation with Kluber, Carrasco, and then Bauer, when he's Bauer working right, like he's been for most of the past year and change, then that's great. So, but if I'm another team, I wouldn't want to sign him to be the guy that's going to lead my staff. Like it's not number one in every way. I mean, he's number one stuff, not number one makeup.
Scott Braun, MLB Network. Scott, I was listening to you yesterday on MLB Radio when you guys were talking about, the brawls with the Yankees and Red Sox and Colorado and San Diego. I've been a baseball fan my whole life. I'm a diehard. In ways, I consider myself old school, but I hate when the pitchers throw at hitters, especially in the situation where Joe Kelly threw at Tyler Austin two times. I thought that was ridiculous. I personally didn't think what Tyler Austin did was a big deal, and I hate the Yankees. But share your take. I know you were talking about it yesterday, but share your take on the whole incident and just throwing at batters in general.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it generally. Yeah. I tried to, and I was on with Matt Diaz,
yeah.
And so he's like, hey, you're coming back to the old school, because I was talking about the Padres-Rockies situation, and the Rockies were hit, the Padres were hit five times, and then the Padres finally retaliated there against the Rockies. Like, that one, I got to say, eventually, what's the limit? Like, how many times can a team hit another team and say it's an accident and just keep getting away with it and be hurting guys? I mean, Manny Margot is one of their exciting young stars,
yeah.
Is now on the shelf for a while. So that part I got. It's like, eventually, if someone knocks into you by accident, okay. If they knock into you five times in a row and, like, elbow you in the face, eventually you're going to be like, dude, stop.
Yeah.
So I felt that with that series. As far as Joe Kelly, you nailed it. That's exactly what I was saying a million times. It was like, dude, you get one chance to do that. I do not like spikes up. I think I know this slide, like, if you look at it even 10 years ago, you're saying, oh, whatever, no big deal. It's just not the way it works now. And Brock Holt, yes, he could have been more on the edge of the bag. But at the same time, people don't realize the pressure on the middle infielders now. They have to stay on the bag much longer. They have to stay on the bag even longer than they think, because the game's going fast and they don't want to be caught on the instant replay that their foot came off too early. So this, even though it wasn't huge, it was his foot up. I get that the butt was on the bag, but Tyler Austin did something wrong there, and the Red Sox are sensitive because Manny Machado did this to Pedroia, and Pedroia still hurt from it last year. So the biggest problem in that was Joe Kelly. If you're going to try and do something and pitch inside on a guy, it's got to be first pitch. Really, I like to be first pitch next time you face him, but sometimes it depends on the game situation. But yeah, overall, I don't love that stuff. I mean, the crowd and everybody else, a casual fan, certainly love it. Here's the problem now today. Suspensions came out yesterday for the Yanks. They came out today for the Padres and Rockies. Luis Perdomo was the one that actually threw at Nolan Arenado. Then he charged him. Perdomo won't even miss a start.
Right, it's ridiculous.
And Nolan Arenado is going to miss five games. That's like a huge loss for the Rockies, who are going to be a wild card contender. They're a fringe team there. So, and Perdomo, they'll drop the appeal when they want, and then he'll miss nothing. So they need to fix that. Like, I would say, you got to give a pitcher, I don't know, 10 games, so he at least misses a start.
Yeah. I mean, the Perdomo was so embarrassing. I mean, first he throws the glove, then he's running. That was pretty fast backwards running, though. I'll give him that. But it was embarrassing throwing the glove.
He wanted nothing to do with Nolan.
No.
Nolan's a tough dude. He's, a lot of these guys are bigger than people think. So, yeah, no, the glove toss was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he was just waiting for someone else to get his back. Oh, here's the thing I called out hard. And a couple fans didn't realize how wrong they were when they were talking to us at first yesterday. Christian, because I confirmed this with a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah, I saw
Christian
this.
Vasquez yesterday. Yeah. So if you look back at the replay and take some time, Tyler Austin smashes the bat down. As soon as he does that and starts his direction towards the pitcher's mound, the catcher needs to immediately either grab him or stand in front of him. Christian Vasquez let him take multiple steps, then started to go after him once he ran, and then a Yankees assistant coach took out Vasquez in 5 seconds, like, to a tea party. He was nowhere to be found. We were totally a witness protection program for Christian Vasquez to help his pitcher out, Joe Kelly. Now, luckily, he was okay, but just poor job by the catcher to help his boy out. You got it. That's your job.
Yeah, catcher's got to take care of business. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Scott Braun's with us from the MLB Network. Scott, you do everything, man, don't you? You're on XM, you're MLB Radio, MLB TV. Where else you at? Anywhere else? You've been everywhere.
So MLB Network, multiple shows there. MLB Tonight and The Rundown are the main ones that I do. And then I'll do MLB Now when Brian Kenny's not there, and High Heat when Chris Russo's not there. On Sirius, I do various shows depending on schedule. SNY, where I'll do various, mostly just Mets games at this point, a little spring training, and then some when Gary Cohen's not there, which isn't usually many, but get to do some, which is great. And then lastly, now what I'm doing once a week is a Facebook game of the week. It's MLB Live on Facebook Watch. I've called two so far. Next week I go for Blue Jays Royals. The week after that is Diamondbacks Phillies. Now, the interesting part of this, I don't know how much you guys know about this until it actually affects the Indians. It's exclusive.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. The only place to watch it. So it's got people buzzing once you get to their market, because they have to figure out, you know, obviously an older audience has to figure out what they're doing, hop onto Facebook. But it's been awesome because we've got, basically, you call a game and I'm still giving you everything you need for the game, but I'm interacting, or we are, with fans. It's a 3-man booth the entire game. So comments are rolling in, just questions relevant to what's going on, and we're answering them. And then even sometimes now, like we tried this a couple days ago for the Cardinals Brewers game, I said, hey, we're about to talk to Craig Council, who has questions? So I grabbed him.
Yeah.
Hey, we're about to talk to Mike Matheny. A couple people wrote in questions, and I'm seeing them in real time and asking them to Mike. where can you do that? But it's great because I've done traditional broadcasts.
Yeah.
Like, you take advantage of the technology now and use it. So that's what we're doing here.
You know, Scott, I watched some of one of the games, and I want to watch a whole game, but I can't remember who it was, but there was some baseball reporter wrote and complained about it and complained about the fan stuff and didn't like it. And I thought it was the stupidest thing because I loved it. I thought that was great, the fan involvement. It's better interact. We're trying to encourage fans to love baseball, and I thought it was a great way to go about it.
The feedback I've gotten, and maybe not from the old school get off my lawn reporters or columnists, but the feedback I've gotten from millennials and from a global audience, because there's people watching in the middle of the boat, in the middle of the ocean on a boat in Guatemala, like all kinds of countries and people chiming in and sending me Instagram DMs and stuff like that. So no, the reaction has been awesome. The complaining you get is people initially not realizing that it was only on Facebook. They have to maybe figure out how to stream it onto their TV, stuff like that. But these are things that most people know how to do nowadays. And if not, I mean, hey, the same people were complaining 10, 12 years ago when all of the baseball games started going on regional networks. And now it's like, if it's not on a regional network, you freak out. So it's just updating with the times. But it's a really great way to do a game. Like, I've been loving it. And I think a lot of people have, too, because we're talking to them during the broadcast. There's no other way to do that. And you don't need two screens to do it. You're watching the game on Facebook, and you can comment right below, and stuff will pop up.
Scott, you're a rock star, dude. You're growing. I mean, how old are you?
I am 29.
You are. I mean, you're.
Let me tell you, I'm going to keep it real here.
No, he's awesome.
This is funny, Scott. I'm being totally honest with you. First time I saw Scott on MLB Network, because Dustin knows I watch MLB Network. I listen to MLB Radio. I'm locked in. I love baseball. First time I saw Scott, I said to myself, without even hearing you say a word, it was totally unfair to myself watching it on TV. I'm like, who is this pretty boy? What the hell does he know about baseball? I'm like, this guy doesn't know baseball.
He's a rock
Get out
star.
Of here. And I got to tell you, I think you're one of the, I'm not just saying it because you're on with us. I think you do a tremendous job. I really like when you fill in on MLB Radio. I think you're excellent. I really appreciate the work you do.
Hey, guys, I appreciate that. You know, this is season 7. So I broke in there pretty early, but I knew what I wanted to do. And all I do is watch and read about the game. And
awesome.
I do NHL Network, too. Actually, did I throw that one in? We do NHL Network.
Throw it in there.
MLB,
there you go.
So.
Yeah. Hey, Scott.
NHL playoffs, but I appreciate that, guys.
No worries.
I'm working hard.
Yeah. We had a conversation about you because we knew we were going to have you on at some point in the next week or whatever.
Yeah.
And we were like, this dude's really good.
He's doing everything. Yeah. Scott, let's talk about
it. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Let's get back to the Tribe for a minute because obviously, last year the Twins were, they were somewhat in it for a little while, and in the end the Indians pulled away. And I was totally a non-believer in the Twins. I was surprised they made the playoffs. I think the Twins are better now, especially if they can get Santana back at some point. Do you think the Twins can stay within 8 games of the Indians by the end of the year?
I do, all year. I really do.
Okay.
Now, it's a 2-team race by far, but both teams get to pick on the rest of the division, which is awesome because the rest of the division is terrible.
Yep.
So it makes a huge difference. I mean, Minnesota's, they're better than last year. They did a lot in the offseason. They really did. And technically, I still love Cleveland. And also, I mean, the fact that they haven't hit a lick and they're still winning all these games up until the last couple games where they have 14 runs. But I still love Cleveland. It's just that they did lose Carlos Santana, and Yonder looks like he'll be fine over at first base. They did lose Brian Shaw. I know they say he counts as 2 pitchers, whatever, but the bullpen will be fine. Starting pitching looks good. I mean, it does take a toll on you, though, when you've gone through multiple Octobers like this, so I know you have to be careful. So with that being said, if you're careful with your rotation during the year, maybe it costs you a few wins. Twins are going to be aggressive right now. They have a young position player group.
Yep.
And then pitching-wise, to get Lynn, to get Odorizzi, even the bullpen. I know Fernando Rodney always does this. First few starts looks like a mess. But then he was great last year for the rest of the season.
Addison Reed
is really good. Yeah, so there's a lot going on with that team. I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but I think they'll give Cleveland a run for a long time, if not through the entire season. There, I wouldn't be surprised if the Indians win the division by 2 or 3 games. And the Twins get one of the wild cards. I picked the Twins for a definite wild card spot because their division is weak. So, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, even if you put them in a similar category, they're all beating up on each other in that division. It's too much for them. And now it looks like the West is the same way. The A's are better. The Angels are much better. They'll be a contender. The Astros are the best team in the league. So you look at where's the weak spot, it's the Central, and that's usually where you can get another wild card out of it.
Scott, for our fans that may be listening who are not maybe diehard baseball fans and are not following the Shohei Ohtani story, I mean, it's incredible. People were already down on him because he didn't have a good spring training. I know it's early and you don't want to make sweeping judgments, but so far so good with this guy. And it's such a fun story. I love it.
It's the best. I'm like all in on the Shohei Ohtani wave right now. And this is actually for the casual fan because you're witnessing history. You're witnessing a once-in-a-lifetime player. This is not going to come around. Not when a guy, there'll be others that'll try to do the two-way thing, and there's a guy in the minor leagues with the Rays right now who's going to make it and probably be a two-way, but not necessarily a superstar. This is a superstar, a number one pitcher. He has the chance to be the best pitcher in the game for a good amount of time. He's only 23 years old, and then has a chance to be an impact bat as well. You're not going to see that again in your lifetime. So just to check it out for a game is really worth it. And he pumped us in spring training, just like Ichiro did, guys. Yeah. Ichiro, in his first spring training back in 2001, was a joke. And then he became the Rookie of the Year, the MVP on a team that won a ton of games. And he was like, ha-ha, I fooled you all. And so Shohei Ohtani, and apparently this is the case with many Japanese players, they're strung differently in spring training where they work on specific things and the performance and the results are all the way at the bottom of the totem pole, so it just doesn't matter. But this guy's nasty. The splitter he has might be already the best pitch in baseball. He can sit in the high 90s and hit 100 miles an hour. I mean, there's nothing that he can't do. And then we got to see him run yesterday with a triple, which I knew this he was capable of this already because I've been following him for a while. He's going to be one of the faster players in the league. Like he has one weakness that we saw the other day. He was picked off of first base by actually a guy, Chris Martin, who used to pitch in Japan too. So that's it. He's got to figure out some base running awareness at first base. Otherwise, he's a superstar.
Yeah. I would like to get Scott and Bull in a room and just have like baseball trivia.
Well, he works with Matt Diaz. I did Matt did. I used to host a baseball show on the CBS Sports Radio. You know, and Matt did a couple of shows with me, and I probably know some. I used to work on The Fan in New York, Scott. So there's probably some guys at SNY you work with that I know or that I've worked with. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully I get out to Cleveland for one of these Facebook games, so I'll hit you guys up. You know?
All right, Scott, before we let you go, speaking of New York, let's rip the Yankees for a minute, the Yankee fans for a minute, because booing Giancarlo Stanton. I don't want to hit my friend Sean. Do you know Sean Marash by any chance? You probably don't know him.
Anyway. I know the name.
Yeah, anyway, it's the Yankees. We expect, shut up. You can't boo Stanton. That's absurd, Scott.
Guess what? You'll like this.
Yeah.
So Jeter retires, and the next year, D.D. Gregorius replaces him. Young, raw, but we know the talent's there. Right. And he steps up, and they're yelling, Derek Jeter. To make him feel at home, guys. Are you kidding me? He was shaking in his boots. He was terrible those first couple weeks. And I was on the radio every second I could, and even on TV, too, calling out the fans, being like, do you want to lose? You're actually mentally affecting your shortstop. So do you want to make the postseason or not? Enough. So Stan, I mean, he knows what's going on, but still, it's going to affect him a little bit. Giancarlo's coming from Miami. There's no media down there. He wasn't great with the media down there anyway, so there were a lot of question marks. He'll be fine, but be more welcome. I know that you're tough. You want to show that you're tough fans. It's fine, but guess what? You're actually affecting on-field performance.
Right.
You're the home crowd. You're not supposed to boo your guys, especially like that. It's one thing if it's Giancarlo game 160 and he's batting .150 on the year leading the league in strikeouts and he has 15 homers. This is the beginning of the season. So, yeah, they're a joke. That's an absolute
100%.
Joke.
Scott, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy. Thanks.
Absolutely. Anytime,
Scott,
guys.
Stop taking all the jobs, will you? I want to work someday.
That's it. I'm done. That's the last one.
All right, man.
Thanks, man.
Scott later, Braun.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.